Further ado, we want to introduce our special guest today. She is coming all the way from the great city of Pflugerville, Texas. So, Claire Caldwell, come on up. Please give her a hand. Welcome her to Promised Land today. And come on up. We'll get you a mic. And no problem. We are so thankful and honored to have you with us. We met several years ago whenever met several years ago when you spoke. I was there and was just incredibly impacted by your story. And then we kind of got separated. Then we got reconnected at the state capitol several years ago. And you're literally speaking all over the United States. And aren't you flying out tomorrow to be with Focus on the Family?
Yes, that's in so Colorado. Awesome.
So going to Colorado Springs, but making time. Her book just came out and super busy. But thank you for taking time to come to San Marcos.
Thank you for having me.
Honored to have you. So I want you to just jump into your story because you're the expert on your story. And would love for you to just tell your story and then we'll throw questions at you. Okay. On the fly.
Sure. Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. My mom is here.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to be able to celebrate with all of you. My story actually has a lot to do with motherhood. And
Absolutely.
So I'm honored to be able to share it. So growing up, my sister and I were adopted and knew that as long as we can remember, we don't remember finding out that we were adopted. We remember people saying, like, gosh, well, sorry you were adopted when we were in school, you know, growing up. And we're like, why? And they would ask us questions like, what was it like at the orphanage? And it's because everybody had seen the movie Annie. And so they thought there was like a Miss Hannigan in my life. And, but being an adopted child in my family was something that was so incredible. And we knew that, you know, meeting our birth mothers would be a possibility one day. We didn't know what that would look like. But we knew when that day came that the things that my parents had told us all along growing up would still be true about us, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we found out, that we were wanted, chosen, and loved. And so we were so secure growing up as adopted children, but the day did come where we would begin to meet our birth mothers. And
let me pause you right there, because you said, sorry, I told you I was going to do this. I've heard you say that several times now, wanted, chosen, and loved. Is that something that your mom just literally told you on a regular basis, or how did you get that phrase?
These were things that we just knew about ourselves. I remember my parents often telling me that, you know, we prayed for you. My parents experienced infertility, and so we loved you more than any child has ever been loved. I know that's not true, but we're all so loved. But those were things that were spoken over me all my life. And I was raised in a Christian home. And so that example of how Christ adopted us into his family and called us wanted and chosen and loved. And that their example of adopting us into their family was the same, that those were the things that they believed about us.
That's such an incredible message. I mean, if you could just stop right there and just that could be the message, you know, like that's such a beautiful picture of adoption. We want to honor your mom and all that she did to lay that foundation in your life. So
absolutely. So we knew the day would come, and so the day came that we would meet our birth mothers. And so my sister met her birth mother, and I remember sitting around this table looking at my sister's birth mother when I had finally had the opportunity to meet her birth mother, and seeing how much they looked alike and how much they acted alike. And it opened my eyes to just questions about my own birth story, about my own birth mother. And so I went home that day and I spoke with my family about the possibility of meeting my birth mother. I was 20 years old at this point. And so we were thrilled. We were excited to get to thank her for giving me my life and my family. And so I called my adoption agency the next day. And the craziest thing happened. I called my adoption agency and a woman named Debbie answered the phone. And I told her who I was and I told her that I wanted to hopefully meet my birth mother, but at least thank her for giving me my life and my family. And Debbie on the other end of the phone, she goes, "Oh my goodness, I know exactly who you are, Claire. I'm actually sitting here looking at your baby picture on my desk from 20 years before."
Wow.
And she said, "You have these little casts on your feet and you have this harness on your hips and you were so tiny."
Oh.
And I remember thinking like, okay, this is really odd. Like, who keeps a picture of a baby for 21 years on their desk? But this was my birth mother's caseworker, and this was my first glimpse of God's bigger picture for my life, of what would lead me to where I am today. And so Debbie, who was my birth mother's caseworker, actually reunited us 21 years later. And so we met in Dallas at at my parents' friend's house, and we had this great experience. I remember the moment I opened the door when she knocked on the door and just thought, gosh, it was like looking in the mirror at myself. And I knew instantly that I just loved her and that I was so grateful to her for what she had given me. But what I didn't know in that moment was I was about to find out the most shocking news of my life, something that would change the course of my life forever. And so we set this second meeting up after the first meeting went so well. And my family got to meet her, and I met her and her three daughters that she raised, that she had after me. And so it was the second meeting where I prepared a gift for her. I wanted her to know that maybe the lies that she believed about herself and her motherhood, that maybe she wasn't a good enough mother because she had placed me for adoption. I wanted her to know that that wasn't true, that she was the best mother for me because of what she had given me in my life and my family. And so I got her this ring and this necklace. And on the way there, I was on the plane, and I wrote in a card, "Thank you for choosing life for me." And I sealed it up and put it with this gift. And the day I got there, I decided to give it to her. And so she was actually sitting in her lazy boy chair in her living room, and I watched her open the ring and the necklace, and she cried happy tears, and she asked me to put the necklace on her. And that was the moment where I was fastening the necklace that I watched her read the words in the card, "Thank you for choosing life for me." Mm-hmm. And instantly, everything changed. What were happy tears quickly turned into the most painful tears I had ever seen in anyone's eyes before. And I remember thinking, like, gosh, this is supposed to be our happy moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be the moment where I tell her what she's longed to hear for 21 years.
Yeah.
And yet I saw this pain.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Claire, there's something I need to tell you." And so we went into this back room. And as we were walking into this room in her home, she grabbed my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trembling.
Mm.
And as we sat on this bed and faced each other, she told me through her tears how at 13 years old she had become pregnant with me, and that her mother had told her that there was one choice for her, and that was to have an abortion. And so she did. She had a D&E dismemberment abortion, which is still the most commonly used abortion procedure today. And they told her that her life would go back to normal. But she said that it never did. In fact, she went back to the doctor and found out that she had been pregnant with twins and that they had mistakenly missed my body during the abortion procedure that was successful on my twin. And so my birth mother went to Kansas to have a second abortion procedure, but was turned away because they had ripped my amniotic sac and I was so small. And so she was dropped off at that adoption agency where Debbie was. And I was delivered at 30 weeks, 10 weeks premature. I weighed 3 pounds, 2 ounces. I had a dislocated hip and club feet and went through body casts, multiple body casts, as my complications were corrected by these things. And so going into my birth, meet my birth mother, I never imagined that there would be this, you know, new information, new revelation that I had survived something that was literally meant to take my life. But I had a choice. I could either embrace her and forgive her and help to, I don't know, somewhat give her her motherhood back through forgiveness and redemption that I knew was available through Christ, or I could be angry and upset. And she fully expected me to run out of the room that day and never speak to her again. But instead, because of how I was raised, I embraced her and I forgave her and I loved her.
Well, that's just a huge testament to your mom. So we honor your mom, Barbara, today for and your dad for raising you and really instilling that in you, because it was that confidence in who you were from God that gave you the platform, the spiritual platform and the emotional platform to be able to have that forgiveness. You know, the grace from God that, man, is so important to be raised in that with that positive reinforcement. So that's amazing. So how did your birth mom take it? Like, what, how did she respond to that?
You know, it's been quite a journey. In that moment, she relived every feeling, every smell, every word that was spoken to her or not spoken to her during her abortion experience. And so it was pretty challenging. I was that everyday reminder to her for many, many years of what had been done to her, of what had been taken from her and from me and from our family. But over the course of the past 12 years, as I've shared my story publicly across the country on stages and even in the media, I've made sure that my words were affirming to her, that they were forgiving of her, and that my words would point her back to Christ. Because what Christ said about me, what my family said about me, he said the same things about her. And I knew that, and I knew that she needed to hear that so that she could begin her healing journey. And so just a few years ago, she actually has had the opportunity to share her story, and she has come to know the Lord and believe not only my forgiveness for her, but also what he says about her and his forgiveness for her. And there's been this incredible breakthrough moment, as instead of me being that constant reminder of her, to her, of what happened to her, now it's a reminder of our victory story in Christ and in his,
that's so incredible,
the redemptive story that he continues to write on our life.
That's incredible. How, I mean, when you heard her initially tell you in that moment, was that, did you immediately feel that, like, forgiveness, or was that a struggle for you? How do you work through that?
I think in that moment, you know, looking into her eyes and seeing that pain and knowing that she had been 13, and I've been a 13-year-old girl before. I know that when I was 13 years old, I trusted my parents. I trusted their wisdom and that the choices that they would make for me were choices that they believed were good for me. And so I put myself in her shoes and saw the pain in her eyes. And yeah, there was no turning back for me. There was no second guessing for me in that moment of if I would forgive her or not. And a lot of that is because of how I was raised, because I knew that Christ forgave her too. But if you've ever seen the pain of a woman who has experienced an abortion, a woman who was not spoken to in a room, surrounded by doctors as she gave birth to her child and was alone and scared and didn't know what she was going to do and wasn't told that she was worth it, that she could do it.
Yeah.
If you've ever looked into the eyes of someone who's experienced that type of pain. I think just forgiveness is the wow. answer.
Wow, so. It's incredible. I have so many questions, but did you talk about the idea that you had a twin that was killed, that didn't make it? How have you wrestled through the emotions of not having a sister or brother? I mean, do you even know what that, did they know what the gender was?
We don't know. We don't know if my twin was a boy or a girl, just because my birth mother wasn't aware that she was pregnant with two babies, and the clinic didn't tell her that. And yeah, people ask me all the time, like, do you think about your twin? Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, it's a silly answer. It's like, do you think about your right arm? You know, like, and doctors say that my body, my mind, my heart, that I remember in some way being next to my twin and watching my twin be dismembered in front of me. And so I do think about it just because I have to talk about it. I have to live with these everyday reminders, these physical complications that I still have today and was born with, that are my reminders that I am a twinless twin in the name of choice, actually. But I trust the God that wrote the story perfectly for me. And so I could ask these questions all day, you know, why? Why did this happen? Why was my twin taken from me, the person that I would have been closest to for the rest of my life? Why am I the one that survived? There's so many questions that, you know, maybe one day I will have the opportunity to ask God. But at the end of the day, I can trust the God that wrote my story perfectly, who saw the big picture when I didn't, and I'm seeing, you know, now just maybe why he wrote that story, because through me, you can look at my face and you're literally looking at the face of my twin. It's like this window to the womb. We have the ultrasound, which is a window to the womb. We can see the humanity of the baby. But now we also have abortion survivors who are speaking out. And so my twin's face, when you look at me, you look at my twin's face. And so I'm sharing my story in honor of my twin and my twin's legacy.
Let me ask you another part of this story that's difficult. That is your birth mother's parents. And so in a way, somebody could say, yeah, well, you can forgive your mom because she was 13. She had no, I mean, you say she had a choice, but she really didn't, because her parents made her do this. So ultimately, it's the grandma, granddad. Tell us about that part.
So my, I met my biological grandmother the next day. And so she had told her daughter, my birth mother, that, you know, you're going to shut up about this. Nobody is going to know. And so nobody knew until I was 21 years old that I existed, including her own father. And it's been a journey, you know, to navigate the forgiveness aspect of this, because I did have to meet my birth mother's mother the next day. And I can say that, you know, when I found out that I had survived an abortion, I found out that I was rejected and unwanted, even aborted. And I believe that I still am by my birth grandmother. But I choose... Unwanted and rejected, but I have control over my circumstances and my response to her. And I believe that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that God wrote my story perfectly. And because of that, I can choose every single day to wake up and choose to forgive her. Because I know that God wants to use me in any way that he can to begin writing a redemptive story in her life too. And so it's my job to be obedient in opening my heart to forgive her and to love her, regardless of if she ever feels remorse or love for me.
Right, and that's so, I mean, that's so true in any relationship we're in any relationship, and that is the power of God and forgiveness and the power that only He can give us, because in when we are functioning in our humanity, there can be this desire to blame and get revenge and be angry and keep separation. And that is a testimony to the power of God and the gospel being able to work through you to be able to have forgiveness and have an open heart and not be closed off in a situation where you could, by the world's standards, say, I was rejected and not wanted, and therefore I'm going to reject and not want you.
Yeah. I think it's really important to talk about these things and talk about uncomfortable things, because we have to do that in order to get the true healing that people need. And there's people that are listening today that are struggling with this. And when I think about your birth mother's mother, your grandmother in that regard, she was under this pressure. She was believing a lie from the devil that her daughter could not have a child at 13 and anything be redemptive about that. So she thought the only way to fix this is to end it. And that is a lie from the devil that has been propagated since the beginning of the world. Instead of trusting God in a difficult time, in an impossible time, you need to take matters into your own hands and try to fix it with a shortcut, and so we all go through situations where we are faced with that option, that choice. Do I trust God in this situation or not? And it is not clean and easy. It's very complicated. She's 13. That's very complicated. How's that going to work? There's other situations beyond pregnancy and birth and all that stuff that we're maybe it's a financial thing or another kind of a occupational thing or whatever, that we struggle with that point. And I'm so encouraged by your story, because you're not afraid to talk about the difficult things, but it's not some vindictive thing, you know, like I'm going to tell everybody how bad my grandma is. It is a very much a vulnerability to really preach the good news of Jesus, that no matter what we're going through, God is able to redeem it and make it beautiful, make it so beautiful. So.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm sitting here feeling this overwhelm in such a good way, because I feel like this is freedom. This is freedom from the despair and the bitterness and the anger that the enemy wants to keep us trapped in. And it is just beautiful. It's overwhelming in the best way to see God's goodness in a situation that could have been so broken.
Yeah, I think we feel like at some point God is going to supernaturally say, okay, now's the time to forgive them, or you're waiting on them to come to you to say, I've seen the light, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. But there's a lot of these times in life when someone has done you wrong, they're not going to come say anything to you, and you can either carry that with you as a burden and it just eats you up, or you can choose to forgive. I mean, is that you feel like that's where you were?
Absolutely. I had to make that choice. And it's a journey and it's hard. But I do want to acknowledge, you know, if you have had an abortion here, whether you're a man, a woman, a family, I just want you to know that there is hope and healing and forgiveness for you. That the forgiveness that I have been able to have for my birth mother, but even more than that, the forgiveness that Christ has for my birth mother, that He wants to redeem and restore and bring something good out of our messy situations, out of our shortcomings, out of things that were meant for evil or to harm us. And so if you take anything away from my journey today, I hope that it's that this can be your journey too, that God can redeem and restore and heal and bring good out of things that are so, so, so painful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do want to jump into those, a couple things that are like really, you know, where the rubber hits the road here. There's, out of the message you've given today, there's many things we can apply it to our lives. But adoption is one of the things that is just incredibly obvious here. And so I just want to communicate to the church over and over again that this is a family that loves and embraces the culture of adoption. Mm-hmm. Adoption is the principle of Jesus and the good news of the Gospels. He's adopting us. And so it is our honor and privilege to be able to do that. There's many people in our church that have already begun the adoption process, have already adopted kids. There's some that are thinking about it. And so I'm just praying and believing that today God's going to stir some hearts and that some of you are going to think, you know what, at least maybe an adoption is an option for us, that we could think about it, pray about it. We're going to start giving resources in the next couple months. We're going to have some of the organizations that are local that do fostering and adoption to come give information. Some people think, oh, it's going to cost $50,000 to adopt a kid, all this stuff. And in reality, there's many ways to do it that don't cost that much money. Okay. I always want to make sure that Mrs. Steele is able to speak.
So kind.
Because there's a lot of times we do this, and then I go home, and she says,
you did not let me speak.
You spoke the whole time, and I didn't get to say anything. So
it's true.
That's why I keep saying,
good husband.
It's Mother's Day, and
yes.
I don't want to mess up. So I want to continually communicate this message of adoption in Promised Land as a part of us. That's who we are. We adopt, we love. Eric and I have fostered kids in our home as well. And it was some really interesting moments there, some troubling moments that we thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing? But now our kids look back on it and have such a good heart towards it.
Yeah, when I went back to school, we stopped doing fostering at that point, and our boys were totally bummed. They're like, can we please, we want some more foster kids to come live with us.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have great, yeah. I mean, there were tough times. There were definitely tough times, but it was so worth it.
Yeah. So if you're thinking that, if there's like a little inkling inside of you, I'm believing the Holy Spirit's talking to people today, and you're going to feel that excitement, tension, whatever it is, and we want you to know, we want to help you with that. If you have questions, we can put you in contact with people in our church that have participated in that. But I also want to talk about abortion, because obviously that's a big piece of your life, and you may think, you know, I'll never deal with that. That's not something I'm going to deal with. I go to church, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not the case, right? Statistics show that many people in here have dealt with it. And it impacts us in some way. And so I want to be clear about that as well, that Promising is a safe place for people that find themselves in a pregnancy that they're not sure what to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're lifting the mic. I want to give you a chance.
Can I have a turn? I mean, it's Mother's Day, right?
You got it?
Bye.
Go ahead.
That was awesome.
I don't remember what I was going to say now.
Well, we're talking about that it affects many people. You know.
Oh, yes. I used to think, you know, that the person who'd been affected by abortion would never be me. I mean, I thought growing up in the church in this solid home raised on the foundation of Jesus and what he had done for me, growing up in a church where I never heard the word abortion from the pulpit of my church, in our community, even in my family. My assumption was that that would never be me. And yet here I was learning that not only had I been affected by abortion, but I had survived one. And it really just hit home to me that the reality of what abortion is and what it does is that it takes away a human being that would grow up to be somebody like me. And you talked about the gift of adoption, and I shared how my parents experienced infertility, and I recently got to read my mom's journals of her journey of crying out to God and just asking God, have you forgotten me? We want a child. Have you forgotten me? And I believe that, you know, God's hand was on my life because as my mom was crying out for a child, God was protecting my life during an abortion procedure. And so I went from this unwanted, rejected, aborted child to the most wanted, loved child imaginable. And I wish that every single person could experience just the solid foundation that I had and who I was because of my adoption and my family. And so, you know, oftentimes we think of this as this political issue, but I want people to know that this is a human issue. This is a heart issue. This is a God issue. And it's something that is, it matters for every single one of us. One in three women are experiencing an abortion in their lifetime. And that means that far more have experienced the pain of abortion in some way or another throughout their life.
Yeah, well, we want to make sure that if anyone hears that whisper from the enemy that says, you're not going to make it, how could you do this, you know, there's no hope, there's no future. I know we have 30,000, 35,000 Texas State students. That means there's 15,000 young women there that want to finish their careers or finish their degree, get on with their life, and all that stuff. There's high school students. There's people in the church. Even when something starts in a way that is unplanned or maybe even sinful or whatever, we serve a God that is able to do something miraculous with things that have started in a way that we didn't want or didn't plan. He can turn it around. So
I'm just keeping the mic close.
Okay. I want to let you know about a couple very practical things. Here in San Marcos is, used to be called Central Texas Life Care. They've changed their name to True Choice Pregnancy Resource Center. They're an incredible organization. They have counselors there, but they offer free sonograms, free testing, both pregnancy and STD. They offer diapers and clothes and classes for young parents. If a young parent comes in there, pregnant couple, even a single comes in there pregnant and is struggling through things, they'll put you in the right place to help you. But this church is going to help you too, all right? So we partner with them to help in that regard. But they also offer a small group for women who have gone through an abortion and are struggling with it. So post-abortive women, and maybe it was 30 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever, and you're still kind of holding on to that, there's hope for you. We want you to know that there's no condemnation. We're not here to condemn or to throw stones or anything like that. Right. We're here to love and restore and help.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't we pray? I feel like we should pray. And I want to, again, thank you for being here. She's a very, very busy schedule. And so we're so thankful that you are here on Mother's Day. Tell them real quickly, you're a mom. And you have several kids. Tell them real quickly about your family.
Oh, my husband David and I live in Pflugerville. We have four children combined. My one biological daughter feels left out that she's not adopted, so that's a good sign. But yes, truly, truly blessed
with my gift of motherhood. Tell them about. She asked you that question.
She did. She a couple years ago, we were in the car, and she said, "Mom, I have a question." And I said, "What?" And she said, "What about my birth mother?" Because my three older children, my husband's children, who I've had the privilege of raising, have a birth mother. And then I'm adopted, my sister's adopted, my mother-in-law's adopted.
That's all she knows.
My husband's adopted.
Your husband is too.
By his father, yes.
Wow, that's incredible.
So anyway. But thank y'all for having me for Mother's Day. I don't know what your journey with motherhood looks like. Some of it can be wonderful and joyful and painful for some of us, but just know that you can trust the God that wrote, that sees the bigger picture,
yes,
and that wants good,
yes,
for you, as,
yes,
we sang about,
yes,
earlier,
well,
this morning.
We pray blessings over you, over, yes, your journey. She's on all kind of TV shows and interviews and podcasts. Her book just came out last week or 2 weeks ago, and so it's available in the foyer if you'd like to get it. She can sign it for you. You can get a picture with her. But why don't you give Claire Colwell a warm thank you for coming and being with us. Thank you so much. And she's gonna make her way. I want her to have a chance to get back there, so she's gonna make her way. Would you just pray with me now? Would you bow your heads and join with me? There's a prayer I want to pray first. That's just for all the moms out there. Some of you are just trying to figure out how to get toddlers dressed and fed and in their car seat, you know, and it's just stressful, very physically demanding. You're in that phase. Others are trying to figure out adolescents and teenagers and driver's license and schoolwork and dating and all of that stuff. Others of you have empty nests and you want more connection with your kids. Or maybe you have a child that has gone and you don't have connection with that child and you're waiting for them to reconnect. So there's many different phases of being a parent. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus, blessings over our mothers here today. God, whatever phase they're in, whatever situation that they're dealing with, God, we pray that you're going to bless them, that you're going to strengthen them. In the moment of their need, God, you're going to make a way of blessing for them, God, to just encourage them. Let them know, Lord, they're going to make it. They're going to make it. It feels like they're not, but you're going to be there with them, Lord, and give them strength spiritually, emotionally. And right now, I just want to pray for all those that are hurting. And this message today spoke to them, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the sweet presence of the Lord to come and go deep into our souls, deep into our past. God, you're able to do so much in a moment, in a second, because of the power of your redemption, Lord. You're able to do it, God. And so I pray right now as the pastor over this flock that your will be done. And if there's anyone that's hurting, Lord, that is suffering through something that they felt like would never be resolved or never be redeemed, God, I hope they found out today, Lord, it's redeemable. God, our lives are redeemable through your power and through your strength. And so, Lord, we just make a confession of faith. We put our life into your hands, Jesus. Lord, I give you my life. Would you just say that with me today? Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul, Jesus. I give you my past, my present, and my future. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, you can clap your hands and go grab that right there. So some of our women were able to check in at a table. And women, if you haven't done that, go get a cupcake. And we have some things out there for you on your way out. But some of you got a ticket on your way in. Get those tickets out right now because we're giving away a gift basket. And if we draw your tickets, you can go pick up your basket on the way out. But a lot of cool stuff in that. Here, let me hold it for you.
Stuff.
Can't look? No cheating? Okay.
You ready?
All right, here's the number, drum roll.
Did this song I grabbed last time? I don't think it is. Okay.
No, we threw all those away.
Okay. 823-071. 823-071.
Come on,
somebody.
One.
Right here.
All right. Awesome. How sweet is that? Lovely. You can just take it and go pick up your basket on your way out. All right, we're going to start dismissing from the back to the front. Our hospitality team is going to be dismissing row by row just to keep our distancing. But don't forget to go check in at the table and pick up a book if you'd like to do so. Hang outside as long as you'd like. To everybody that's online right now, thank you so much for being with us. We love you dearly. We love you dearly. We can't wait to see you face to face again.
Yes.
How about you? Any parting words? Your last chance.
No.
Okay. All right. We love y'all.
Mother's Day.
Have a blessed week. We love you. God bless you.